If you would, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John, John chapter 4. Today we finish up the woman at the well. I know this has been a long study of this, but it was a beautiful encounter. And if we rush through God's Word, there's lots of things we miss, and my desire is not to rush through it. My desire is to camp out in the Word of God and to continue to study that. So if you would, join me in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 34. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months and comes a harvest'? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to Him, they asked Him to stay with them. And He stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of His word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." After the 2 days, He departed for Galilee, for Jesus Himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his hometown. So, labor at gathering fruit for eternal life. Labor at gathering fruit for eternal life. That's what we need to gather as we gather in this place. We gather together and we remember that and we celebrate that. What do we do every day? You and I are always gathering something, right? The reality is, are we gathering for eternal life? Are we gathering things for this world that will not last, or are we gathering things for the Lord that will last? Labor at gathering fruit for eternal life. Look at verse 36. It says, "Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together." So the Lord is painting a picture here to the disciples. And the picture is marvelous. It's a picture that they viewed daily as they walked. I don't know about you, but I often get caught up in my routine. There are many days when I wake up and you shower and you get ready and you do the things that you normally do day in and day out, and before you know it, you're at work, and then you pause for a second and you're like, "I don't remember driving to work. Like, I know I made it here, I know I'm here, but I don't remember the drive." I have those all too often. But here, they didn't have cars, and so they're walking. And so Christ is painting a picture that they saw every day. That you look out, you see the harvest, and you look out, you see the workers, and those workers are working the harvest, and you're thankful for that, because if you don't see them, then the harvest is not there, there's not food, and there's going to be scarcity. And that causes issues for everyone in the family. So He's painting a picture here that they saw every day. He paints a huge harvest and He declares them the workers of the harvest. Interesting. He says, "You are the workers of the harvest. You're not the owners. You don't have the luxury to sit back and just to look at the harvest and say, 'Yes, go, go, go.' It's like, you're workers. The harvest is in front of you. I am calling you as a child of God to go into the harvest and to work. And so those whom the Lord saves, they will sow and they will reap." Sow means to scatter. It's referring to the teaching of the law and the prophets here. That the teaching of the law and the prophets has already gone forward prior to this. It had gone before them. People knew the law. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the Ten Commandments. So many had heard the law and the prophets. And then you have the reapers. They're to gather. They point to the law and the truth of it, that all are in need of a Savior, and that the God who gave the law also gave his son. So he's saying, okay, so you have this harvest that you see every day, and the harvest is all around you. He says, I have called you, I have saved you by my grace in order that you would go into the harvest and you would do what? You would work. But you go into the harvest and you labor. Now, for some of us, we're thinking, okay, labor, physical, manual labor. I have those days in my life where I need to put my book down, I need to get out of my office, I need to go home and do yard work. It is refreshing for me. Just like my wife has those days being a mother where she wants to do yard work even though she doesn't want to mow because she needs times of getting away from the children because it's refreshing. Now, as Christians, we are all called to labor the harvest. This is a spiritual harvest. We are called to work, labor. Now, what's the thing about labor that really scares most of us? The fact that we're going to sweat? The fact that it's going to cost us something? The fact that it's hard, it's difficult? The fact that you may see fruit, you may not see fruit? But all of God's children are called to labor. We labor at gathering fruit for eternal life. Look at verse 37. It says, for here the saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Christ is telling his disciples that the fields are white for harvest. The fields are ready. Wake up, open your eyes, look up and see. See that there are people all around you who know the law and have read the prophets. He's saying, I want you to go and I want you to reap. Go to them. Share the truth with them. Christ informs them that others have gone before them who labored at sowing. The reason and the joy of looking back at church history. Look, we are not alone in this. You look back 100 years and you can see people who have lived and died for laboring for Christ. You look now, there are people who are living and dying at laboring for Christ. They are to finish working the harvest. They are there to enter into the labor that has already started. Why? Because the fruit that is to be gathered. He's saying, look, look, go into the harvest, work the harvest, and gather. You just go and proclaim the gospel and gather. Gather those who listen, teach them, and send them out. And this fruit, what is it? It's souls. It's people. It's not things that will perish. It's things that will live on forever. And I think that's one thing that we constantly forget. Look, every single human being that you know, they will live forever somewhere. They will live forever in the presence of Christ in heaven, or they will live forever under the wrath of God in hell. It is one of those two places. All your Facebook friends, all the people that you've known for years upon years, for all those people that live in your community, they will live forever somewhere. We must look up and see the harvest and the fruit that is to be gathered. We labor for God in this harvest, in this world, by proclaiming the gospel to people, and God promises that some will be saved. Some will be saved. Now, that doesn't mean that you can live this life and you may not see anyone come to salvation through your fruit, because that may happen. You may declare the gospel your entire life and not see one person convert. But does that mean it was unfruitful? Absolutely not. When you declare the truth in love, that's fruitful. Being faithful to a holy God. Gathering fruit for eternal life will not happen when our minds and our hearts are not thinking about eternity. Just pause and think about that for a second. When our minds and our hearts are so much about the world, you don't care about whether a person is lost or saved, do you? It doesn't happen. Our minds and our hearts must be transformed by spending time in the Word. When our minds and our hearts are not focused on the Lord, we are gathering fruit for this life and not for eternal life. And gathering fruit for this life is vanity. It is chasing after the wind. It will not last. I loved the video that we showed from Paul Tripp. And I think the reason is because when we labor, laboring is very, very difficult. Laboring as a mother or laboring as a father, you have times where I cannot believe these kids made a mess. Like, I just got through cleaning this up. What just happened? Or you get a child potty trained. You know where to go when you need to go to the bathroom, right? You just made a mess. But the same is true with us when we're working the harvest. Look, we're going to have disappointments. We're going to have failures. We're going to have our frustrations. We're going to get upset. We're going to get up angry. You can look at all the things going on in this world right now and you're like, God, what's happening? But yet clearly in Scripture we know that things are going from bad to worse. And so it's coming to that point to where we are, and God is reminding us, look, I have called you to labor. Just labor. Just labor for me. Work for me. It's like all this is going to happen. I promise you that. Just labor, and it will soon be over. Soon I will come and get you. Soon I will come back. One of those things. Just labor for me. That's all I've called you to do. Work the harvest. John 6, verse 27 says, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to what? Eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him God the Father has set His seal. So you labor for food that endures to eternal life. God gives us fruit. We're just to labor. He gives it. Turn with me to John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. John 15, verse 1. If you go into the student ministry room, part of these verses are on the wall in there. But John chapter 15, verse 1. Christ says, I am the true vine. My Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, what does He do? He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. So you already have a picture. It's like, if you're in me and you don't bear fruit, you don't belong to me and I take you away. If you are in me and you bear fruit, I will continue to prune you, to grow you, to mature you for the purpose of why? So you can sit and do nothing? No, He says, I'll continue to do that so that you will bear more fruit. It's all about laboring for the Lord. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. You're clean because of Christ. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So the question we have to ask, what does it mean to abide in Christ? Well, what does that mean? Hey, you stay in Him. You keep following Him. Like the picture that is painted, you keep pointing yourself to Christ. You keep looking up. You keep seeing the harvest and you keep working. You keep staying in the Lord. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That verse is awesome, but also very scary. That you and I can labor our entire life not laboring for the Lord, and He says, you've done nothing. He's like, abide in me and labor for eternity. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, this verse should not be taken out of context. If you're abiding in Christ, you're going to ask for the things of Christ. You're going to ask for God's will, not your own. This is not one of those things where you can name it, claim it. That is nowhere in Scripture. When you abide in Christ, you ask for God's will, not your will. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Abiding in him, staying in him. And guess what? When you do that, when you work for the Lord, when you're working the harvest, there is joy in that. There's absolute joy in that. What gets boring and tired is living for the things of this world. It wears on you. If your hope is in man, it wears on you. When your hope is in the Lord, you abide and you stay, and it's joyful. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as how? As I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, and someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you, that you will love one another. So apart from Christ, what can we do? Nothing. But with Christ, abiding in Christ, we'll have fruit. That's the promise. That we will have fruit, that God even chose us and appointed us to do what? To bear fruit. So just think about this for a second. If you walk into the fellowship hall, there's a new bulletin board that's hanging up, and on that bulletin board is a little sheet of paper, and on that sheet of paper it says, 7 out of 10 people in the state of Texas are lost. 7 out of 10. Pretty big number, isn't it? But yet you see more and more churches being planted every year. You see churches that are becoming larger and larger and larger each and every year. And you have to ask yourself the question, shouldn't there be some type of mathematical increase if that is true? Like 7 out of 10. And the reason for that is because you have many people who do not go and bear fruit. That's what Christ said. He's like, look, I have called you to myself for the purpose of what? Going to bear fruit. And what does bearing fruit require? Labor. And so the truth must be told that if we don't labor, we don't belong to the Lord. We must labor for him. Like, how can you not? Even this past week, I watched a video of an atheist. And this atheist was talking about his life. And he just finished his concert. And after the finishing of the concert, this man walked up to him. And this man looked at him and he said, Hey, I'm thankful to be here, but the real reason I came was to tell you about Jesus Christ. He handed him his Bible, and he walked away. And this guy had been totally against the Lord, totally against all those types of things. And he goes into his little room after his concert, and he records this video that goes immediately viral. And in this video, he says this, you know, I've always been turned off by Christians. Always have. I've always been against everything that Christians have said, everything they've talked about. Some of them have pushed me the wrong way. But this man that came and talked to me today, he was different. He told me about heaven. He told me about hell. And he preached the gospel to me. And you can see him start to get a little emotional during this video as he was talking. And he said, you know, I don't believe that this man is correct. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in this type of God. But you know what? If I did, and I didn't do what this man said, I would be a hypocrite. This is an atheist. Say, if I really believed that men and women and children were dying each and every day, and that they were going to one of two places, if I believe they were going to hell, or I believe that they were going to heaven, this changes my life. This changes everything about me. That I would have to quit my job, and I would have to do whatever I can, even in my job, and point people to Christ with my life. And if I did not do that, then I couldn't call myself a Christian. That was from an atheist. The atheist who was not saved got it. The atheist realized, it doesn't matter if I get persecuted, it doesn't matter if I get yelled at, it doesn't matter if I get cussed out. The point is, I need to declare truth and love, and God made the promise, you go and you labor, and guess what? The fruit will be gathered. Go and work the harvest. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. The parable of the 10 minas. Beginning in verse 11. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately, he said, therefore, a noble man went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But the citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, and he might know what he had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. He said to them, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. He said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. I was afraid of you because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who do not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. What a parable. What a parable. That the wages will be given according to their labor. That God's children will labor and gather fruit for eternal life, otherwise you're not a child of God. Over and over again. I mean, even pause and look at the life of the disciples. I mean, even as a parent in this room, as a mother, as a father, I don't know what goals you have for your children, but I hope the number one goal that you have is that you would see your children labor for the Lord. And no matter what happens, they would come to know Christ and they would serve Him. So the questions we must ask ourselves is, have you been laboring for God? What have you been laboring for? Even thinking a little bit more clearly, what will last? I was in my son's bedroom last night, and the nightlight was shining on the wall, and I walked over and I saw something on the wall and didn't know what it was, and I poked my finger through the wall. And I don't know if it's water or if I have termites or what's going on, but it was just a constant reminder, this house isn't going to last. Like, this is not forever. But all the people living in the houses in my subdivision, they're going to last. The harvest is plentiful. The workers we know are few. What does that mean? We got to work with the time that we have. We have to labor for the things that do not perish. Will the fruit that you are gathering, will it last? Let's look at now at how Jesus closes this encounter with this Samaritan woman. Go back to our main text, John 4, verse 39. What happened? Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Can you imagine? So you are this woman. Just picture that for a second. You have been married 4 times. The man you're with now is not your husband. This woman comes back to this town where the town hates her, despises her. She looks past all of that. And this is her testimony. This man told me all that I ever did. Through that, all these people follow her back to Christ, and many believe. Isn't that great? They follow her all back to Christ, and many of them believed. And then it goes on to say this. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. So they looked at Jesus. Hey, Jesus, can you stay? I heard what happened with this Samaritan woman, the woman that we didn't even talk to, the woman we ignored, the woman that was an outcast. Can you stay with us? Look at the scripture. He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to this woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. You catch the emphasis of what they put it on. Hey, he's been here 2 days. Hey, we listened to your testimony. We heard exactly what you said, but we don't believe just because of your testimony anymore. We spent 2 days with him, and we know beyond a shadow of doubt that this man, Jesus Christ, he is the Savior of the world. Do you see the change? I mean, do you hear it in their voices? This is indeed the Savior of the world. Not just the Jews, not just the Gentiles, not the Samaritans, but of the world. There was life change in what they were saying. So what is the result when God's children do not labor for him? I think it's very clear from the scriptures we've read, there's no fruit for eternal life. When we don't labor for God, there's no fruit for eternal life. It won't last. It will be burned up in the last days, and you will not enter into heaven. See, not all of God's children will see some believe, but some will. When God's children labor, some will believe. And you know, this was a truth that I had to come to when the Lord was working on my heart, saying, Lord, when the Lord was telling me, Casey, I want you to go from First Baptist Church Keller to Foundation Baptist Church in Euless. And I said, Lord, is this what you want? Yes, that's what I want you to do. And the Lord had to basically tell me, Casey, it doesn't matter if you see fruit or you don't see fruit. You work for me. You do what I have called you to do. That is success to me. If you are faithful to me, a holy God, that is success. Then we see all throughout Scripture prophets that the Lord has called and said, I want you to go and proclaim the gospel. But guess what? They're not going to listen. How long do I have to do this? Your whole life. I'm not going to see any fruit. Nope. you just stay faithful to me and you obey. But in this example, the Samaritan woman reaps, doesn't she? She gathers a crowd and the crowd goes to Jesus and many believe. Remember, this was the Samaritan woman, right? The woman that Jews ignored, that Jews didn't talk to the Samaritans because they considered them unclean. This was not one of the 12. This was not the local pastor. This wasn't the seminary graduate. This is a woman who had been married 5 times and was now with a man that was not her husband. But she labored for God, didn't she? Some of the most amazing testimonies I've heard of how the Lord has saved someone later on in their life and what the Lord has been doing in that short period of time. And then you see Christians gather around them who've been following the Lord for a long time, and they persecute the one who's on fire for the Lord. That's where most persecution comes. It's from people who grew up in church. They persecute those who are radical for the Lord, but it's not really radical. They're just obeying what God has said to go and do. Labor and some will believe. This woman labored for God. God does not save individuals without the use of his children in some way. Labor of his children is always involved. And sometimes it's through different avenues. I was thinking about this week. Sometimes it's through the distribution of Bibles. When someone read God's word, sometimes the Lord will save them that way, doesn't he? Faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of God. Sometimes it's through a gospel tract that's left on a table. Sometimes it's a gospel tract left at a gas station in the pumps. Sometimes it's through open air preaching. Even when Christians come by and look at that and ridicule them, sometimes it's the fact that God is saving one individual through that and he's turning their life over to the Lord. Sometimes it's debate where the gospel is shared. Sometimes it's in Starbucks over a conversation. Sometimes the Lord uses that. Sometimes it's a relationship you have with a coworker that you've shared the gospel with 10 times, but on the 11th time, the Lord saves them. Sometimes it's lunch with family. Sometimes it's a complete stranger who knocks on your door. The Lord uses all of the harvest, all of the opportunities, and he says, you never know when you're going to be gathering. Go and labor. Go and work. We must labor at gathering fruit for eternal life. When we labor, some will believe. So what was the result of this woman's labor? Many Samaritans from that town believed. Many more believed because Jesus spent time there. And they said, we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Do you want the Lord to save the lost through your labors? Do you? Over the next year, would you like to have multiple stories? Stories of those who have come to faith, and maybe stories where people didn't come to faith, but at least they heard. Do you want to see others believing that Jesus is the Savior of the world? And the real test is if you do, you'll labor. If you don't, you won't do anything. See, we're called to obedience to God's word. We are called to labor. And that means getting out of our comfort zone. That means stop saying, I don't have that spiritual gift. And it means that we work the field that is all around us. And we labor for the Lord. Labor is your calling if you are a child of God. Even as moms, you labor with your children. Wives, you labor with your husbands. Husbands, you labor with your wives. Singles, you labor in all your relationships that you have. And you seek the Lord in the time that you have it. Laboring for God, that is success. Isaiah had a very difficult calling. In Isaiah 6, verse 8, we hear this, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then I said, Here am I, send me." I love that, because Isaiah didn't say, "Send me, here am I." He's like, "Hey, I'm right here. Hey, send me, let's go. Let's go get to work. Let's do this." He said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." And then Isaiah said, "How long, O Lord?" He said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, and though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." See, laboring for God, that is success. It is not numbers. It is not what man has established to count as success, but laboring for the Lord, that is success. And I can't stand up here and tell you, you may labor over an individual all your life and see absolutely nothing. Because that has happened. And that will continue to happen. But that doesn't mean that we stop laboring. The God who saved you will continue to save others. You still labor. Whether they hear or they refuse, we are to labor. 2 Timothy reminds us in chapter 4 that we are to preach the word in season and out of season. We are to fulfill our ministry, and that there is no bad time to preach the gospel. I have used that excuse so many times. Well, it really wasn't the right time. It's always time to work the harvest. You never know what the Lord does. Pastor Paul Washer said this, "God raises up His children to save men and to judge men." Both. Because through the proclamation of the gospel, men are saved, yes, but also men are without excuse and they hear the gospel and they never repent of their sins and they go to hell. Both happen. Many will become angry at you. Many will hate you. Many will persecute you. But not all of them. God will save some. So we keep laboring for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. It says, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." How many are waiting for this day? Y'all ready for that? It goes on to say, "For this imperishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says this, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." See, the last part, that just puts it all together. It's like, yes, you're waiting for the Lord to come back. Yes, He is coming back. Yes, He's going to bring you home. Don't stop laboring. Keep working. It's not in vain. Always abound in the work for the Lord. We know from Isaiah 55 that God's word will not return empty. And I want to close with this passage, if you will. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Talks about how we are running together this race. I preached over this passage every year at First Baptist Keller. I love this passage. And this is a point I want you to think about as I read these verses. If we have failed to labor, we have failed to consider Jesus. If we have failed to labor, we have failed to consider Jesus. Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to who? Looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And then it says this, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So what is the key to not growing weary and faint-hearted in this life? Consider Jesus. You think upon Jesus. You look at his life. You look at the cross. You remember he's coming back for you. You consider Jesus. Daily, you won't grow faint-hearted. I love what Pastor Mark Devers says about this. He says, when we don't sufficiently consider what God has done for us in Christ, the high cost of it and what it means and what Christ's significance is, we lose the heart to evangelize. It says our hearts grow cold, our minds grow smaller, and our lips fall silent. It says this, consider that God has loved us as he has. Consider that God is glorified by our telling others of this amazing love of his. And consider that instead of gossiping about God's goodness in the gospel, we engage in the conspiracy of silence. How much evangelism do we find flowing out of our mouths? And what does this suggest about our love for God? I've thought about that for too long. And don't get me wrong, there is a direct connection between your love for God and your evangelism for God. There is a direct connection. Just like that atheist said in that story, right? If I truly believed that every man on the planet, every woman on the planet, every child on the planet is bound for heaven or hell, and I believe that with all that I am, that changes everything about my life. But I want to close with something. John 16:33, it says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It's already been overcome by the Lord. We're just called to go into this harvest and to labor continually. So will you labor for God today with your family? Will you labor this week at work, at home, with your friends? Will you labor for the Lord? Let's labor.